This is CodyCast, the Cody Allen CMT podcast.
You might be a redneck if you love yourself some Jeff Foxworthy. He is my podcast guest here on the CodyCast. We all know him as not only an incredible comedian, so funny, but also an actor, game show host, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And now a new game he has out. It's a little bit like Cards Against Humanity, but more family-oriented, called Relative Insanity. So, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm well, Cody. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Where are you and what are you wearing right now?
I am in Atlanta. I am actually, and I would tell you because I wore the same thing for about the first 6 months of this, but I have on a Georgia Bulldogs football shirt and a pair of blue jeans.
All right.
I should have said, like, I've got a hoop skirt and roller skates, but that was yesterday.
The only thing I'll hold against you is the Bulldog shirt. I'm a South Carolina Gamecock, and the Georgia Bulldogs beat us every single year.
I know, but last year you came in and beat us in
Athens. That's right. There's the one year in like year span that we actually get lucky, but we'll see how it goes this year. It is great to talk to you. Who knew, by the way, in the middle of this pandemic weirdness, that we would actually be playing a home version of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? I had no idea. Like, most parents are doing that right now.
We're doing a home version of everything right now. So,
Have you held up pretty well, you and your family? Or I want to talk about the projects you've been working on. You've been busy, it looks like.
I have been busy. You know, it was really weird in that, going into this year, I think in the last 35 years, the longest I went without being on stage was maybe 10 or 11 days. I've certainly never been in the same city. I mean, not been on an airplane for 2 weeks. And, you know, for the first 9 weeks, it was just me and my family at our farm. And I was like, oh, this is what it feels like to eat with your family on Saturday night. I didn't know this was, you know, an option. But, you know, out of everything this year, the thing that I've missed the most is being on stage. Yeah. And just, you know, most people get into stand-up because it's such a great springboard for TV and movies. And once they do TV and movies, they don't do stand-up. And I've been lucky to do TV and movies and write books and all. But I've learned this year, you know, if you put a gun to my head and said, pick one thing, that it would be stand-up. That's what. And so, not having that outlet, you know, I was fortunate a couple of years ago. Thanksgiving's always been a big deal to my family. And so we have like 30 people at our farm, just we blow it out. And so Thanksgiving night, a couple of years ago, the kids, and I say kids, they're 20s, but they were sitting at the kitchen table and they're playing Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, and this game's really funny, but it makes Ron White blush. I mean, it's, you know,
it's edgy. It's a little bit dirty. Yeah.
Basement. Your aunts and uncles are here. Your grandparents are here. You can't play this in the kitchen. And so they went downstairs and I thought, all right, there's got to be a way to have a game that makes everybody laugh, but you don't have to, but everybody could play it if they wanted to. You don't have to, you know, send them out of the room. And I thought, all right, what, you know, the comic in me, what's everybody have in common? And I landed on everybody's family is crazy. And so that with that premise, I wrote 100 setups about family, just relatives, you know, and it could be the setup might be right before we walked down the aisle, Daddy leaned over to me and whispered blank. And then I got note cards and I wrote 500 punchlines, just things that sounded funny. And I had 2 nights later, had everybody sit at the dining room table, 15 people, and when they played this game. With the idea, one person read the setup, everybody else throws down a punchline, trying to get the biggest laugh.
Right.
And you learn to play it in 10 seconds. And well, the game exploded. It was the number one game on Amazon. You learn, you know, it's so easy to play, but it's no strategy. You're just trying to laugh. And so this year, once being on stage got taken away, I thought, you know what? My kids every day are sending me these memes, you know, these pictures with this funny stuff on them. Can we play Relative Insanity with pictures? And so I got 100 photos, sat down and wrote 900 punchlines, and it's the same thing. One person holds up the photo. You look at your seven punchlines and throw down the one you think is going to get the biggest laugh. And the other night, I got somebody sent me an email to the website, and they said, "We finally got brave and had four friends over, and we played your game, and that's the most I've laughed in 2020. And I went in there and showed it to my wife, and I'm like, "How cool is this?" You know, because Lord knows, Cody, this year, we need laughter. Laughter's the thing that keeps you from going crazy. Laughter and live music are the two release valves that keep the boiler from exploding, and none of us have either one of those.
Yeah.
And so, you can't go to a comedy club, but you can get a game and sit in your house and play it with your friends and laugh. So,
when it comes to the photo cards, did you pull from your personal family albums, or where did the pics come from?
Most of them, yeah. There were a few that we had to get permission for, but like one day I'm pulling in at my farm and I pull up to the barn, and one of my best friends is standing in front of the barn wearing nothing but a pair of Daisy Dukes and a mullet wig. His stomach is so white, you can only look at it through a special box made in science class. He's got his gut poked out, and he's got his leg up on the front tire of my tractor. Well, I pull around, and I just burst out laughing. So I roll down the window, pull my phone out, and I take his picture. Well, I put that in the game, So, a lot of them are just coming out of my everyday life.
Yeah. As a comedian and writing the game or comedy in general, you do write a lot of, obviously, about family and about people in your life. Has that ever come back to bite you at all?
Oh, God, yeah. At first people were insulted that I talked about them, and then they were insulted that I didn't talk about them. My in-laws years ago, my father-in-law goes, every time I turn on the TV, you're talking about me. And I said, "Listen, you're too easy. I'm going to talk about you. But as payment for talking about you guys, I'm going to take you on a fabulous vacation." And then it became like an annual loop I could never get out of, because when I took them on vacation, I ended up with 20 more minutes of material about them. So I'm like, "Crap, I'm going to have to take them again next year." Here I am talking about them again. So
an endless vacation. You've also got a show on A&E, What It's Worth, and I heard you had to tweak this one a little bit due to the virus.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like an antiques roadshow, but you're going into people's houses. We were going to do it live where people brought the stuff in, and COVID hit, and then we were like, "Well, can you do it virtually?" And I'm like, I don't know if it would work or not, but I used to, when my kids were little, I would volunteer to be one of the parents opening car doors at the front of the school for no other reason than it made me feel better about how dirty our car was. Because you look at other people's car and you're like, "Hell, ours looks brand new next to this," So, and it was kind of the same thing when people let you into their homes, that they would just walk you down the hall. And you would think, well, if you're going to be on TV, maybe you would clean up the house.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. And so I'm like, "Well, hell, I thought our bedroom was messy, but look at this place." And the stupid thing, everybody hid stuff in the sock drawer. And I'm thinking, if I'm teaching a class to burglars, don't we cover that day one? As soon as you get in the house, the sock drawer.
It's so true. Mine is in the underwear drawer, but we won't get into that.
I don't know. What makes underwear such a good protector of valuable things? I don't know.
I saw you post a picture, a throwback with Seinfeld, who you mentioned a moment ago, and Jay Leno. Did you come up sort of in the comedy ranks with those two? And maybe some best memories of kind of those two.
Yeah, well, those two fall into that category of guys that have had success doing other things, but at their heart, they're stand-ups. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're still, as soon as Jay finished, I remember asking him, like on Tuesday, I said, what are you going to do? You've done the Tonight Show for so long. What are you going to do? And I got a show in Fort Worth on Friday night, and then I'm in Miami on Saturday, And Jerry's the same way. I mean, Jerry made a gazillion dollars on the TV show, but he's still doing stand-up. And so, I just have such an appreciation for what those guys do. And to look back, hell, I remember being like being in the improv in like 1985, and Stephen Wright was really popular then. And
yeah.
And I was saying, you know, I love his style. I don't know, should I do it slow like that, or should I be? And Jerry's like, I don't know. I think you just get on stage every night and do it. And then after 10 years, you have a style and you don't even realize it.
Yeah.
And then looking back, you know, like if I watch myself like on Blue Collar or something, I'm like, oh, why do I do that? Why do I, you know, hit that high note in things? And it's not a conscious thought. It's just a style that developed. So, you know, he was right. So it's kind of cool to look in the rearview mirror and go, crap, none of us knew what we were doing. I remember being a Catch a Rising Star, and Chris Rock was a kid. I mean, was a kid. And we would all get up and go watch him perform, and he didn't do particularly well, but he had nothing to talk about. He had no life experience.
Mm-hmm.
But you could stand in the back of the room and go, this kid's going to be great one day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you see him 20 years later on TV in a special, it's like, yeah, I remember him when, you know, it's like playing double-A baseball or something. Yeah. So,
is it about wisdom over time mixed with just finding yourself and finding that voice you're talking about?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was very lucky. Leno was always been one of those guys that helped young comics. Rodney Dangerfield helped me so much in the beginning. And so at this stage in my career, I'll do a thing where I'll go down to a club and just tell local comics, hey, I'll be there from 2 to 4. If you have questions, I'll try to help you. Just, you know, to try to pass the baton along.
Yeah.
I would say that wisdom is knowledge plus scars. And so, you know, whether you're a musician or a comedian, you learn things, but you also learn from the mistakes you made. You learn, oh, don't do that again. And you need to stay in your lane. I always tell young comics, don't try to be something. Talk about where you come from, which is what I did, you know, back all those years ago with the You Might Be a Redneck thing. Yeah. I grew up in the country. I bow hunt, I fish, I have a truck. And so that was the stuff I was talking about. I was a little bit shocked that so many people, you know, received it and would point at each other and go, hell, that's not just you. That's us too.
Right.
But I think you can't. I think if you're not authentic, people see through it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why the Blue Collar Comedy Tour thing worked, was people could tell we liked each other. We were friends. And when we weren't on stage, we were sitting around trying to make each other laugh. And I think if we had tried to fake that, people would have seen through it.
Congratulations on the game, on the success of the shows, and all the good stuff you got going, Jeff. Really appreciate the time.
Oh, man, thank you. Thank you so much. And hope you enjoy the game, because Lord knows we need a laugh this year.
That's right. And go Cox.
I think that's the only time I've ever ended the interview where somebody yelled, go Cox. So.
Well, I'm a diehard, so I grew up in Columbia. So,
yeah, buddy, you know. I hear you.
In fact, funny joke before I let you go, I didn't know Cox meant anything but the home team until I was like 19 years old.
We used to laugh because there was a punchline in Little Five Points in Columbia.
Yeah.
And we would laugh. We would say, this is the only place in the country that on Sunday you can go past the Baptist church and see a bumper sticker that says, you can't lick our cocks.
It's so true.
I'm like, who puts that on their car?
Right. And again, when I saw that as a kid, I just thought, man, they're fans.
They love their football team.
They
right?
love their football.
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks again for the time. Appreciate it. Have a good rest of the day, man.
Yeah, Cody. Thanks for having me.
This has been the Cody Cast. Hear Cody Allen on hundreds of radio stations across America every week. Find a station near you at cmtcody.com. Also, you can see Cody on TV every weekend on Hot 20 Countdown at 9 a.m., 8 Central. And get breaking country news 24/7 by following on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at cmtcody.